Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Joypad Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Michael Fleming, here tonight with me. Typically, as always, is Tom and Mr. Michael Pinto. Nice to see you both. Megan is not available again, unfortunately. It's been a busy first half of the year for her, but hopefully she'll be filling in or jumping in here soon in a week or two. That would be exciting and nice. Anyway, enough about who's here today. Let's see how they're doing. Let's start with Tom. Tom, how are you doing? What are you playing? What you drinking? How is life? All the great questions.
Doing all right. Not great. As I mentioned earlier, I had a technical related injury. I got a new monitor for my desktop setup up here. And as I was moving one monitor to replace one on a spring-loaded arm downstairs, I was taking that monitor off. And be careful, boys and girls at home, because as I took that monitor off, it sprung up and smacked me in the lip. So if I look like I have a fat lip on YouTube, it's because I do. I'm not going to show you the inside of my lip because it's split and it's gross and it's swollen and it doesn't feel good. But I told the mics as we were getting started, I was very worried that it would have knocked out my two front teeth because I definitely felt it there. But my teeth are sturdily in place and I'm very thankful for that right now. So yeah, a little bit of, gratitude that my own ineptitude didn't cause me an injury. There's actually an NFL player by the name of Cody Mauch who was just drafted this past NFL draft, and you may have seen his picture. He is a redheaded man with he's a big offensive lineman with red hair, long red hair, and he is missing his two front teeth, and that was the only thing I could think of in the moments where I was worried that I lost mine. So I'm glad I'm not him. Other than that, it's been a busy week, so I haven't been doing too much gaming. I have gotten a little bit of Stardew in. I did play a bit of Madden, actually. Not too much. Both of those games, I'm kind of having the, I have a minute to myself, let me fire this up, play a little bit, see how I feel, and then normally my feelings are like, oh yeah, that's what this game is, and then I stop. I'm trying to think if there's really been much more outside of the games that we've played as a group, which I will not steal the thunder of, but we have gotten together on a couple separate nights to play a couple different games, which has been pretty nice. I have enjoyed that when I haven't slept through it because I've been very tired lately. Yeah, that's kind of the state of the gaming situation there. The other piece I can talk about briefly is, and I was discussing this before the call as well, I'm working on a tabletop RPG campaign, and I'm trying to investigate using Roll20 for that. I have not used Roll20 as a game master, dungeon master, for ever. So I've only ever used it as a player to move around and do things. But investigating this is a game that I play with my friends from Texas that we have been running games for the past 6 years at this point. So this is the first one I'm running with them, and I'm looking forward to that. We're going to be playing Starfinder, which I don't know if I've discussed before on the podcast, but my good friend Nate introduced me to this game, which is made by the same people as Pathfinder, which is an alternative to D&D, but Starfinder is a sci-fi setting. So essentially the whole idea is that you take everything that is the D&D mechanics and try and translate it kind of like to a sci-fi world. There's a really interesting backstory to all of it that I'm throwing out the window and creating my own. But the backstory they have essentially is that there's a number of alien races. There is a warp travel mechanism, and I forget exactly what it's called. It's called a drift drive. That's what it is. So there's a space, there's some extraplanetary void where ships kind of enter this drift, and it enables them to move faster than light to different positions, but it also sucks away some of the life and time from like that universe when it's used. And whether or not this is the cause of it, there's like centuries of time that just passed that everyone in the universe has forgotten. So a lot that kind of just goes hand in hand with that, and it's an event called The Gap. So it's a very interesting base setting. There's a lot of cool aliens and stuff. I've worked out a lot of my own stuff because that's what I like to do. And I'm really excited to get that game started and going. And I've been playing around a lot. I think I've showed you guys. I've been working with AI image creators and my own abilities in Photoshop to create some portraits of characters that I want to use in that game as well. So I've been getting a lot of kind of my video game satisfaction from doing the work associated with that when I'm not actually playing games. And the other thing I would bring up is I just got a couple new board games, which God knows how long it'll be before I actually get to play them. I would still like to have you guys over for a board game night. We just haven't had much time because we've all been busy. But I got Mage Knight because there was a deal on that, and I've always wanted to have Mage Knight. And then I had done the Kickstarter for the Witcher board game, which is called The Witcher The Old World, and I got the deluxe edition of that. So that just came. That was satisfied relatively quickly through Kickstarter, which is nice. It looks very pretty. It has great miniatures, and I'm excited for that one, too. So, yep, that is it for me. I will throw it over to Pinto. How are you, sir? What are you having as a beverage? And how has your gaming life been? What you up to? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm currently drinking the latest seasonal flavor of Mountain Dew. It's very blue. I'm holding it up to the
pumpkin
camera.
Spice.
It's very blue. It's called, let me pull up the bottle here, Mountain Dew Summer Freeze, and it's made to taste like the firecracker pops, you know, the red, white, and blue ones.
That
not great.
Sense.
It's
not great.
I mean, it's okay, but like,
No Livewire.
It's no Livewire. It's definitely no Code Red. It's no Baja Blast. But
oh, please never say that.
Oh, sorry, Baja Blast.
Listen, this is a great day in American history because the Quesarito has returned. We need not
besmirch the name of Baja Blast.
The Baja Blast, yes.
Well, yes, I'm drinking Mountain Dew Summer Freeze, and I'm. It's okay. And I'm also drinking water because there's probably enough sugar in here to, 122% of my daily recommended value in one bottle. Nice. So I will dilute that a bit with some good old water. Gaming-wise, it's really just been Resident Evil 4 Remake still. I have beaten it. I enjoyed it greatly. I have put a very large amount of time into it in a very short period of time. I think I would say, like, it doesn't all count because I'm sure there are moments where I would pause the game and walk away and it still logs time in, you know? But it's about 45 hours. And I did say, you know, I restarted the game several times, so that has something to do with it. But it's just a really, really good action game. In terms of being scary, you know, I think it gets ruined a little bit because it does still lean much more towards action than horror. And also, I played the original, so they definitely changed some things I'm totally okay with, you know, changing character backstories a bit and things like that. It feels like with the remakes that they've done so far, 2, 3, and 4, they're kind of, I don't want to say retconning the Resident Evil universe, but rewriting some stuff about it, and I'm okay with that. It's kind of like how they're rebooting Mortal Kombat already after they, you know, it was only 3 games ago that they rebooted it, and they're rebooting it again. So
that's Mortal Kombat's a franchise that can't live without being rebooted,
yeah,
if I'm going to be honest.
I spoke about this with Megan. I think it's just because people don't like change, which we all know. So once you start getting away from the established characters, you know, your Liu Kangs and your Johnny Cages, and you start trying to introduce new characters, people aren't going to flock to those new characters like they do the old ones. They
yeah.
did an okay job. Like, people like Cassie Cage and, wow, she's the only one I can remember. Oh, Kotal Kahn. Like, some of those characters people liked, but they're not, you know, they're not the classic characters, so.
Well, and there's only, like, so much you can do with the classic characters that are there, which are, I'm assuming, the bulk of the cast mm-hmm. before you reboot everything, or you introduce, like, 20 new characters that everyone's going to go, what, over?
Yeah, that's what happened. Like, the PlayStation 2 era Mortal Kombat games were, people consider them a dark time where they were like, you know, no one knew who the characters were, and they were just kind of like rip-offs of the main characters, so they were trying to replace the main characters. The new characters were the old characters with different names and different appearances, basically.
Frost, anyone?
Frost, I can't remember most of them, to be honest. And that proves my point. beyond Resident Evil 4, Tom, thanks to you, I started booting up Stardew Valley again. I had to update most of my mods because it's been a couple months since I was serious into Stardew. And so, you know, we both have been using Stardew Expanded. Great mod. And at this point, I was like, you know what? I'm going to add in, like, the extra town mods I've seen hanging around. East Scarp Village and Ridgeside Village. And... You guys both know that when you start Stardew Valley, the first quest you have is to meet everyone and talk to everyone. And it's like, you've met this many people, have this many people. With all of those mods installed, the introduce yourself quest, you have to meet 71 people.
Holy shit.
And I was like, it's not going to happen in the first day, that's for sure.
Take your time.
Yeah. Ridgeside Village adds a town just as big as Stardew, or as Pelican Village, pretty much. It's like a completely populated village, and it's got all new marriage candidates, new events, and all that stuff. So, I played one day. I played the first day, and I was like, "This is going to be an endeavor that I have to steel myself for." And I'm not sure if I'm ready for it yet, so I haven't jumped back in quite yet.
Did you install mods so that you can steal alcohol?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I did. And, like, I'm kind of trying to figure out what game I really want to dive into next. I don't know if Stardew's going to be it. I still have to play Breath of the Wild. I never finished Horizon, the first one. What's it called? Zero Dawn.
Yeah, I never finished that one either.
Yeah, I don't know.
All Mother's a door.
The All Mother's a door. I do know that. I got that far. I don't know. The gaming oyster is open before me right now, and I'm not quite sure what pearl I'm going to pluck out of it. So
we can get more into this later. But I mean, I always kind of feel a bit of analysis paralysis when I look at my collection before me and I'm deciding to try and try a game to play. So.
Yeah, and like not to get too blue, but like I am once again currently unemployed, so I have time to play games, and I'm still like, God, I don't know what game to play. So it's weird. One of the biggest complaints we've had is not having enough time, and there's time now, and I still don't know what to do.
That was the entire week I had off between jobs. It's not just you. That's a regular phenomenon, just so you know.
All right. And as mentioned, we have been playing some games together, but I'll let our host talk about that since he's the host. Mr. Fleming, I know you're tired, but how you doing? What you drinking? What you been playing beyond the games we've been playing together?
Yeah, I am very tired today. You guys couldn't hear me because I left the Skype call to debug, but my camera wasn't working after I had just set the whole thing up, and like I set it up on time, maybe a minute behind because I got the Skype call as I was like putting it onto the tripod, and then like it doesn't work, and I'm just like... So I've been very tired, and I have not played any solo games in a week, and by that, well, I'll caveat that, no games that we have not played together.
Yeah,
that's partially due to time. Saturday, from 8 in the morning or 9 in the morning to about 10 o'clock at night, I was out or I was watching a parent like thing because my wife's pregnant. I think I told people that on the podcast, but if I didn't, so
you were at a seminar.
Well, it was an online one.
Lamaze.
It was an online one, and like it was from 9 to 4:30, I think it was, or 8:30 to 4:30. It was the whole day, and like this is gonna sound awful, but I'm the dude, and like, I don't need to know exactly what a contraction's gonna feel like, you know.
The idea is to garner sympathy.
I know, but yes. If my wife says she's having them, then my wife says she's having them. Like, okay.
You're not gonna question.
Yeah, exactly.
Her. That's
exactly. So
how many times did they say, and there is a 95% chance your wife will poop while giving birth?
They didn't mention that at all. Actually,
I think it's almost 100%.
It was hard to get through that whole day, but I did it. I didn't fall asleep.
I stopped paying attention around 9 a.m.
No, but I mean that's just an example. I've just had work's been really busy. 7 to 5 yesterday, or so about that. Maybe a little later than 5, but it works out to 7 to 5, and it's just been a really long week. So, any spare time I had, I've said this on the podcast plenty. If we play a game, or if I'm playing a new game, that's like all I'll play for a little while until I feel like I understand the game. So, to jump into the games we were playing, first we played Raft a little bit, which was really good because I hadn't played Raft all week up until yesterday, so that was really nice to get some time to play that. It remains in, like, at least as of right this moment, if someone said what's your like top 10 games that you have played in the past few years, it'd be in the top 5 probably for me. I really like that game a lot, and I know it very well, but I've still technically never beaten it, so I'm hoping we can finish I'm hoping we get there. And then the other game that we've been playing is Outlast Trials.
There is a the.
Yes.
Oh, that's nice. That leaves room so they can do a sequel where they just take the word "the" out of it.
Well, I actually think that game is pretty good, but it's...
They'll just call it more Outlast Trials.
That's probably... Actually, no, it feels like it's going to be one of those games that, like, stays around for a very long time, and they just...
And they just keep adding
to it. They just add
to
it. Yeah. They maybe send you to a different facility or something. I don't know.
Yeah, the feel of it is very, like, Left 4 Dead or, like, Payday or, mm-hmm. you know, those kind of games where it's, like, 4 people working through a thing.
Yeah.
Which I think is why I don't hate it.
I've definitely played a little extra beyond you guys with, like, randoms.
That's where I was going to call you out. You said you haven't played any games own.
I said, outside of the games that we've been playing, I have not played any games on my own. So I did play that for a few hours on my own. It's one of those that, like I said, I don't like to not... I like to understand a game completely that I'm playing either with you guys or just in general. Like, I don't like to play just a few hours. Like, I'm done. So I like, you know, new RPGs, for example, and stuff like that have not really interested me because there's no getting better at those kind of games. Whereas, like, Outlast Trials, I'm able to understand and learn and get better. But I will tell you that there are people out there that are just... It's like the game's been out for 5 or 6 days or something like that, maybe a week now, and it's like there's all these people like, yeah, if we do this and do that, we're done. It's like, okay, that's great, guys.
Is that fun? Is that fun for you?
I don't know, man. Like,
that's almost the point that, like, I mean, you knew all the shit in, like, Payday, right? So, like, whenever we play Payday, you knew all the routes, you knew which way to go, you knew which guys, or, you know, and they randomized some of it. But, like, you knew, like, the optimal strategy to, like, get a thing done.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't... And it's different, right? Like, it's different. There's, like, certain ways to do certain things in Outlast Trials, and I think it's probably a little less random as well. But, like, for me, I don't get, like, a whole lot of satisfaction if I just, like, know the way to do it in a game like mm-hmm. that. Because part of the fun of those games is having to endure the struggle. Like, and that's coming from me. I'm the guy that plays things on easy mode.
I was going to say, I'm actually a little surprised to hear you say that.
Yeah, well, I mean, what's the fun in it if you're just like, oh, here's the optimal path, I'm just going to follow this, I know exactly what to do. When it's supposed to be a horror game and you're supposed to have to, like, figure out challenges on the fly. Like, that just defeats the purpose in my mind.
Yeah, I don't disagree, and I definitely, like, in regards to Payday, I had something like 500 hours in the game. So, you know, and also you really do that in stealth, and that's like how I played. I basically played any mission that you could in stealth. So like I learned it all over many hours of playing, where here it's like it's the AI is actually kind of poor in the game, and that's, you guys haven't really seen it too much, but one of the missions is about killing a snitch. I think we were playing that one.
That was the very first one. Yeah,
and you have to electrocute him, and the AI, like the way that you have to electrocute him at the end is like there's four different panels, and if you all hold it, it speeds it up. If you, it's just one of you, it goes at a pretty slow pace. But there could be up to four killers that are out on the map, so you all could theoretically be chased. And like, basically what I saw is like, you know, let's say one of the killers is just off doing whatever, and it's me and some other guy holding the electric button. Like, you basically just like, one of you just like runs away but keeps the killer like in your target, so the other can just sit there holding the button. And like, it just looks weird, you know? Like it does. It's just like poor AI. I see people like jump dodging, you know, the swings of attackers, and I'm like, for me, it doesn't feel Outlast. Actually, it feels like some other kind of game. I'm not sure what, but in Outlast, there was tons of like, oh shit, I'm being chased, and like you run through a village, or like you have to hide here because the guy's coming to this door no matter what. That's like a timed thing, and it's probably a single versus multiplayer thing, but that definitely detracts from the game. And then there's also a lot of people in like the world, if you will, who like don't talk. It's a huge problem. Leave the game, like, you know, do weird things like throw bottles where you are so the killer knows to like go check where you're hiding. Lots of troll stuff, which I'm really surprised by too, because the game is so new. But
you're surprised by that?
I am because the game is so new. In a couple of days, I would be like, yeah, or like a couple of weeks, I'd be like, yeah, people are figuring that stuff out. But like, there's already like Chinese, and I hate to use that, but Chinese character names that I can't, you know, understand what the language is, that are just like coming into the game and just like immediately running and then getting themselves killed and getting all the killers after you right away. You know, there's cans that like make noise and they draw a lot of killers in. They'll just like walk through those and you're like, what are you doing? You're not even trying in the game. Or if you are, you just like gonna micro away from the guy, you know, and do like AI glitches. So yeah,
now these are all reasons why I would never play this game without.
And that's where I'm getting to. Basically. That's my warning. Yeah. Don't, games like that get ruined very quickly when you play with others. So I've actually done one solo, which makes it so much scarier. But
I was gonna say, I feel like that would make it scarier and also way more difficult.
It is much more difficult, yes, because you gotta do everything yourself. I did it on a map I was familiar with, but yeah, it's. It's definitely a different experience by yourself and also with like people who are less experienced. It's also much different because you don't know where to go. Where these people are like, oh yeah, we gotta do this next, then we gotta do this, you know. And again, that whole optimal strategy thing, like I don't really like when someone is like charging through because they know that they can outrun the killer to the next, you know, checkpoint, if you will, of the map.
It's like getting power leveled in Diablo. Yeah. Like when someone who's a million levels ahead of you just takes you into hell and is like, okay, I killed Diablo, you have a title.
Yeah, you're already level 50 or whatever. It's like,
what did I do? What experience did I have?
And if that's your first character experience in Diablo, that's not fun. That's not fun at all.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, I don't know how you guys are feeling about the game, but having played it extra, I think it's a decent game, but I wouldn't categorize it as like a great game.
It's also still in early access, though. I don't know how much they're going to be able to improve it, to be honest. But I think the experience of playing it with friends is much, much preferable. Like, I wouldn't even bother trying to play it with random people, because I figured it would be exactly like you said, either people that are already way too good at it and treat you like you're a moron, because you haven't committed 72 hours to playing the game in its 144-hour lifespan, or just...
How dare you.
Just jerks. So,
yeah,
I had a great experience playing it with you guys, and if anyone wants to see that, make sure to check out the Joypad YouTube, where our first two attempts at the Outlast Trials are going to be live. As of this recording, the first one will be up on... will be up already.
Sound the rap horn.
Do-do-do-do! Oh, hang on.
He has it. He has it somewhere.
The the other thing I want to say is, at the end of our second experience, I said something along the lines of, I hope you enjoy this because I doubt we'll ever be playing it again. And I mostly said that for Tom's benefit. Because hey. Tom typically does not like spooky, scary games. And at several points, it did not sound like you were having fun. So I was like, aw, well, I
that's great.
A for effort. I'm glad you tried. Like, I'm glad you experienced it with us. But when you're like, I'd play it again, I was like, ooh, yay.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would. There are times where I'm sure I'd be, like, having less fun. But ultimately, to me, it was almost like the experience, and I think I mentioned this while we were recording it, like the experience of going through, like, a haunted maze or something like that, or a haunted house, where there's, like, this circuit in my brain that just shuts down and just takes, like, this cynical, sarcastic approach to everything that gets done to me. So you just hear me go completely flat and be like, yep, there's a man stabbing me again. Oh, yep. There's the gas cloud. All right, I'm gonna die.
I do feel like there were some moments that were just kind of bullshit in that game. Almost everything is booby-trapped, and that's kind of annoying.
Yeah.
When you open up a chest to grab something and it sprays psychosis gas at you, or you open up a door and an electrified cross impales your chest. Try to hide and there's already a bad guy in the hiding spot who jumps out and starts punching you. And you're like, well, how was I supposed to know that without having played the game first? Because I feel like there was no real indication to any of those
that
things.
That is a good point, and I completely agree with you that, like, there was very little to tell you, and the crosses are by far the worst of those, because the way so the way I've learned about the crosses is you need to open doors very slowly, and if you hold, at least for us it's mouse one, I don't know about a controller, but for mouse one, when you're opening the door, if you open it slow enough, the cross hits the back of the door and it doesn't hurt you, and then you could open the door the rest of the way. That's the one that I've learned, but it's very difficult. And if you're being chased, how are you supposed to, like, take the time to do that? You can't. And then the killers will close doors that have those. So even if you've opened a door safely or something, if they close it, well, now it's rearmed unless you take out the battery. So that is probably the worst of them all. And there's one where, like, it's a trap. There's, like, six different pump options, and if you turn the wrong one, it's a trap and it shoots toxic gas in your face. There's no, at least that I have found, identifying marker for what one's the trap and what one's not.
I figured that one out while we were doing it. You had to go to the valve.
Okay.
And then, because it was all color-coded, so you would go to the valve, and you had to look at the pipes and follow the pipes to the correct thing to turn.
Okay, and the other ones are kind of incorrect turn spots?
Right, because you have to do it in a certain order. It's like A, B, C, D. Uh-huh. So if you go to B first and you try to turn it, it's going to spray the poop gas in your face and you're going to get psychosis.
Okay.
Which, psychosis also, I think, is an interesting mechanic that they have not yet done enough with, which I think will hopefully change in early access, because really all it does is it drains your life, which, okay, fine, whatever.
No, I don't like that part. That's
it,
not
it
okay, whatever.
Drain
to me.
Your life,
I,
exactly,
it,
but
it does if you get full psychosis.
If you're,
it drains
if you're
your
low
life.
Enough, yeah. I think it does.
What happens is the Slender Man who you see in the first, if you see at phase one and phase two of psychosis, stays permanently, if you will, at phase three and chases you, and if he touches you, that's when your HP is going down, so you have to kind of outrun your psychosis until
I don't like that.
I think it's like 30 seconds or maybe 20 seconds, I don't know,
or an antidote.
I don't like that. It feels like bullshit to me, because it's more interesting to me if it's purely like the auditory and visual hallucinations and it just fucks up your coordination, because the rest of the game is built to fuck you up. So if it fucks you up enough, you'll get messed up at that point. And I think that's better than just straight draining your health from
I actually agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you. That would be a much better mechanic. It would be better if it was like adding voices that are like not, you know, saying like, hey, here's a med pack, or here's a medicine bottle or whatever it's called, and then you're like, where is this? And like, that'd be much cooler, because that would really mess with your understanding of what's happening.
Perception.
Yeah.
It could even show you walls where doors are or something like that, or make you unable to open doors. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be fine. Like, I would be fine with something like that.
That's what I think they should do with it, honestly, is make it mess with your perception of everything. Because there were some weird moments where, and I'm not sure if it was psychosis that triggered this or if it was something else, where we would see players or characters with our names running around that weren't that would, like, stab each other. Like, we were playing with Megan, and she got stabbed by some character that looked like her character and had her gamer tag over her name. Or I had gotten stabbed by Fleming, for example, when it wasn't actually him doing it.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what causes that, but I think it's a cool mechanic.
It's not psychosis. Yeah. That's there's certain... I forget their name, but there's certain, like, not primary killers, but, like, guys that hide in barrels or, you know, chests or whatever. One of them can act like one of you and, like, become you, basically, and then, you know, become a killer become, you know, someone that will hurt you, like a killer. Yeah, that is a very weird mechanic. My biggest complaint about that one is it never goes away. It just keeps following you until it finally gets to stab you. At least from what I've seen.
Oh,
it's
really?
So annoying.
That's dumb.
Oh, usually I just get caught and stabbed pretty quickly because my problem with those games is I get startled. Yeah. So a lot of times I kind of want to see what happens, at least until I'm kind of used to the mechanics of a game or like the audio visuals of it. A lot of times in a scary game, I will let myself die just to see like what, you know, what the representation of that is or like how it happens. And, you know, that's been a thing for a long time in all kind of survival horror games. One of my favorite things was to go on YouTube and watch for the original Resident Evil 4 compilations of Leon dying because he always made the same sound when he died. He just went, "Ooh!"
He was a whale
every time.
Delightful.
But, I like the Outlast Trials. I wouldn't say I love it yet, but I want to play it more, and I'm also intrigued to see what else they can do with it being in early access.
I agree with that, yeah.
I think there are certain games like that are an elevated group experience. You know, like we were saying before, most of us really view it that way. I just don't think it would really be fun without having people to talk to. And without it being like my friends, like if I'm talking to some random person on the internet while playing that game, I'm straight up not going to have a good time. I find a lot of the fun to be in like a lot of the camaraderie that we had. Like, you don't have to save everyone, but behind. My God, yes,
we are a very, very No Man Left Behind crew.
Yep. And yeah, I don't know. It's another thing too, where I think it's fun to experience for the first time together. So it's fun to play together, you know, and kind of view the different missions and the different aspects and mechanics, for the first time, discover it together. Whereas I think if you get that experience of that power level guy or, you know, whatever, you would think of that as, you kind of, you know, it's like a haunted house. If you've seen it before, you know what spooks are coming, right? So if you go through it again, it's probably going to be the same thing. It's probably not going to get you the same way. So, I'm as surprised as the rest of you that I would be willing to play it again, but I think I'm taking that sort of mentality into it, and I have fun playing as a group. So make of that what you will.
And it's good to have a new group game to play together, just in general, because sometimes we kind of flounder when we're like, hey, let's play games, and then we're like, yeah, well, what do you want to play?
Yeah,
that's true.
Between that and Raft, we've been pretty good lately, but you know, before that it was Played Up, which I still
would go back to Played Up, and yeah, I'd go back to Ultimate Up. Chicken Horse as well, always.
Oh, Ultimate Chicken Horse is the old reliable of games we play as a group. Like, it will never get old, ever.
It's the best game ever made. I agree with that. It's almost more like a, you know, a board game that you come back to all the time. It's just like, you know, it's super simple rules. It's a lot of fun. It can make you laugh. It can make you cry. So, you know.
And easily,
And easily.
I don't know why. It's just so easy to have fun with that game.
Yeah. I also appreciate the fact they continue to update it, you know? Because they added whatever the new character was that I already forget. The turtle. Yes, the turtle. That was pretty recently.
And they added the new level, which we have not experienced too much because Metro? I think we played it day of patch, and it was kind of glitchy.
Not stable.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I like the comparison to Payday, and I'm curious to see, as we play it more, how I feel about that.
I wanted to mention, too, like, I think my biggest issue with the game is how difficult it is to fight back. And I know that that's an Outlast thing from what you guys have said.
There is no fighting back, basically. Yeah. It's one of those games where the largest amount of fighting back you can do is throwing a brick or a bottle at them, which staggers them for, like, literally 2 seconds. Enough time to get away.
It, like, just feels wrong for that to be the case when there might be like one guy going after like 4 people in the same room, and my brain just says like, well, if like one of us leaned into him, got him on the ground, the rest of us could just stomp him out. Like, it's not that hard.
But yeah, that's the same suspension of disbelief you have to have when watching like any scary movie too, where, you know, you yell scary, you're like, don't go in there, you're gonna die.
Oh, you know they're going to go in there.
I know. But in the game, you have the control to be like, I'm not fucking going in there. What? Are you dumb?
That's, Until Dawn was very good at that. Because you could definitely fuck up and go in places. Same with Heavy Rain.
Yeah.
Or you could make the smart choice.
And not do the thing.
And it worked out well for you.
You know, that's a really interesting comment, though, about like a true horror game versus the Outlast Trials, that like in Outlast, I remember there were times where I was like, I know I have to go turn on this generator. I know there's a guy with a sword in this basement right after I've had my first couple spooks of the game who is going to chase me if I, you know, get seen or if I make too much noise. And like, I was so scared, but you have to go forward because the game can't progress. That's a very big difference with Outlast Trials, where, like, I would say the horror of it can quickly go away because you might have someone who really knows the game. You might have someone who's a high level and can, like, do more stuns because there's, like, a rig you can equip to stun people, which helps, you know, kind of get to that whole, like, fight back mentality, or at least disable.
Yeah, and I'm happy if we get access to that. I don't think any of us have gotten a rig yet. I think that'll make the game a little bit better for me.
Oh, but nice. I have not played with it yet. I did purchase one after Fleming and I played a round together the other night, and I was like, I'm getting a rig, but we stopped playing after that, so I have not tried it out yet.
They don't help as much as you would think either, because I got the stun one personally, because I thought that looked like my personal favorite, and I got to use it like once, and it takes like 5 minutes to recharge, so it's not very.
Or you could find a rig recharger.
You are correct, but like it's not gonna. It basically adds an extra brick, in at least for me in that case. But you can upgrade it over time, and it gets a little stronger. You can recover it a little faster, but it still does not make it perfect. And if you're playing at a high enough difficulty, it's probably not going to make that much of a difference. But we'll see. I don't think I'm probably going to play much on my own anymore, at least with other people, because it's just not a fun experience. Yeah, so that was Outlast.
I think, too, like, and this is something I've kind of run into as someone who really likes scary games, it's hard to maintain replayability of a scary game.
Absolutely.
Especially if it's like a jump scare game. You know, obviously, stuff like the Five Nights at Freddy's franchises, which has a movie coming out this year, with a lot of, like, really good actors in it, too, which I find odd. But something like that has found life, even though it's basically all jump scares. And because my problem I found with that game, and I have played several of them, is after a while, it ceases being scary, and it's more just about strategy. And yeah. that's where I feel like a lot of scary games fall into after your first playthrough. Take Resident Evil 4, which I love. Not that scary of a game, but there were some moments where it's like, ooh, like, that got me, you know? But the next time I play the game, it's not going to get me again. It's not going to be scary. I'm expecting it. So then it becomes just a speed run or a challenge run. Like, can I get through the game using only the base weapons without upgrades or something like that? Mm-hmm. You know?
Does your gameplay hold up?
Pretty much, yeah. That's part of, like, the Silent Hill games is, like... I don't know what I want to say, so go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that's kind of the issue you run into with the games like Until Dawn, because once you've seen the scares that are coming your way, or you know what the plot points are, and some of them can vary a little bit while you play, sure, that's great, but you kind of know what's going to happen. What's your impetus to play again?
Yeah, you know, And I know, I think you said that's something you ran into, and I don't know if it was Until Dawn or it may have been like Detroit Become Human, but like if the first time you play, if you get the ending you want and you're satisfied with it, why would you play it again to get something that's going to like bum you out? Like, oh, well, what happens if this character dies? Like, I don't want to do that. I don't want that character to die. That's why I tried so hard to keep them alive.
Yeah, and I like that about those games, I think, because I think everyone kind of gets at least a slightly different ending in a lot of cases. So, like, with Detroit Become Human, I've mentioned this before, spoiler alert, I didn't realize you could keep Luther alive, but Luther died in my playthrough. And I don't know what I would have had to do to fix that, but he had, like, a fitting moment. Like, it wasn't he just... nonchalantly died off camera or something like that. The story felt appropriate to a point where I didn't feel that need to go back and change fate and see what would happen. It's more of like maybe I'll look that spot up on YouTube later if I want to kind of thing, which is good. I actually like that. Like, I like the way Quantic Dream handles those things, and I like the way that you kind of get your playthrough and then you can kind of discuss it with other people later and be like, oh yeah, no, I did this and this happened. I like that. I think it makes it a talking point, and it makes it a personalized movie game experience, if that makes sense.
Yep. That just made me realize that I own The Quarry. Thanks, Gaming Daddy. Maybe I will play that and... maybe I'll record it, because...
Yeah. You know what you should play?
Huh. Oh, I don't own that one. Megan owns that one.
You know who you could borrow it from?
I think it's a digital download. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Come on, Megan.
I know. Well, here's the thing with that. Someone spoiled that game for Megan.
Oh, really?
And I think, yeah, one of our friends I had dinner with the other night, we were talking about those games, and she was saying, like, oh, yeah, Megan asked me, like, what the twist was. I was like, why would she do that? Don't do that. Those games always have a twist, and apparently the twist was very disappointing. I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to have to buy the game now and play it. I don't know.
I didn't find the twist disappointing. I liked that game a lot, and damn it.
And damn it, I've been waiting to talk about it for 2 fucking years.
I really have been.
All right, maybe I'll get it and play it on my own time. That way,
what the hell even is the name of that game? House of Ashes. I can House never remember it. I always just think of Man of Medan because that name is fucking ridiculous.
Man of Medan. I haven't played that one. The only one of those games I played to completion was Little Hope.
We played we played House of Ashes. Wasn't there another one too outside of those two?
The Devil in Me.
Oh, we didn't play that one yet. I forgot my wife really wants to play that one.
Oh, you didn't play it?
No.
Oh.
Not yet. So I will put that on the list because we're actually at that time of the year where like the gaming list is kinda growing and there's a lot of high profile releases. So like Zelda Tears of the Kingdom is out there and I haven't gotten that yet. I put in a pre-order for Final Fantasy 16, which is coming out in, like, I don't know, 3 weeks or so as
really?
Of this recording.
Really? Is that soon? Damn.
June 23rd, I think, is the release date on that guy.
I hope I hope you like it. I honestly, my interest in it is very low, but
mine went pretty up there. I don't know. I kind of had some talks about that with my friends who are very into like D&D, and by D&D I mean like the fantasy setting D&D, and Game of Thrones and stuff like that. And to me, it seems like if you were to apply that to like Final Fantasy, and I think that's an interesting concept. And I, before I pre-ordered it, I watched a review, read a review, that basically it called it a game with the soul of a PS2 game and the features of a modern action RPG. And I went, well, that sounds good to me.
Yeah.
It was a very positive review. So I said, it's a Final Fantasy game. I'm going to get it and play it. It's fine.
I'm just not as much of an action RPG person. I'm more of a traditional RPG person. And I think that's what has me tentative. And I'm not saying I wouldn't like it. I'm going to wait pretty much. And I waited for 15 as well. Like, and I know you weren't big on 15. I didn't think I would be either, but I ended up loving it. So
I might still go back and try 15 again at some point. My biggest issue was the car thing. And I don't know. I wasn't super into the leveling system, and the story wasn't okay. I wasn't into a whole lot of things, but I still think about it from time to time, and I'm like, maybe I should give that a second chance. But then again, I think that about 12, and then I give 12 a second chance, and 12 I don't like
was it. 12 was not good, and that is a personal opinion. So if anyone wants to come at me about it, fuck you. I will say that. 15, definitely the ending, like I bawled like a child, like aww. It was the ending was very emotional, and I was like, oh no. And then when Florence and the Machine started playing, and I was like, oh god, no, my emotions. So
oh, Florence and the Machine. No, I mean, that's good, and I'm glad you had a good experience with it. And I feel like I might be cheating myself out of a good experience with it. But at the same time, I also had some trouble with the combat and other stuff like that. Yeah, so we'll see. I'm not promising it to myself, but it's something I consider from time to time.
If you don't like something, you don't like something. It's like how Fleming bought Resident Evil 7, and he was like, nope.
Handle more horror games on my own, man. I don't know.
We can, hey man, I have been wanting to replay like all of the Resident Evil games, and I think I'm actually going to start that endeavor starting back with Resident Evil Zero. It's a lot of games. Yeah. So if ever you want to tag along with me, just let me know, because there's a lot of them, and some of them are also co-op. So
I just got it, and I was like, I don't want to be jump scared right now, and decided against it. And I think I got it when it was like full price, and I was like, I'll wait until it's like one of those like super cheap games. I'm like, all right, I'll finally do it. But no, I think I'm done with like super jump scare games, especially solo. I don't know, not really my cup of tea right now.
The only time I will ever play a game like that is with my wife, because she loves the horror games. But I am on record as we played Until Dawn, got halfway through it, and then I had nightmares the whole night because I, spoiler alert, was under the presumption that it was a serial killer game, and it terrified the shit out of me. And then we got to the point where it became supernatural things, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, that was kind of disappointing.
I don't disagree. Especially because like they didn't need to go that route in that game.
No,
they could have kept elements of it, but making it like you said spiritual or something like that, or like almost like a fantasy horror game at that point. It's like, why'd you do that? You didn't need to go that way.
Yeah, it was like hours and hours of modern horror done well.
Done well, yeah.
So you know, you don't need to introduce the thing that strips away the actual fear I had in my heart. and just because I'm afraid, don't do it on my behalf. Don't handicap your game just to make me feel better.
Yeah. But I don't disagree. I think that it almost is like one of those like cases where like you have a really good show. I've never watched Lost, but I've seen enough of it because my wife really likes it. where like it's such a good show for the first couple seasons and then it just gets weird and you're just like, or yeah. Game of Thrones, same thing, right? Where it's like a great show and then it's like the final season or two.
A lot of shows do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and it's like
Lost is a good example. I think Dexter was another one where that happened, where everyone was like, boy, that show was really good, but what the fuck happened in season whatever?
Yeah. And like, I just feel like they try to throw curveballs out there or something. It's just like, you didn't need to do that. Like, you were, like, even if you're going to end in a predictable way, it's totally fine. Like,
as long as it's done well, that's all that really matters.
I would say TV fails at that a lot more than video games traditionally do.
I agree.
Because TV, they're trying to stretch for more seasons as long and as often as they can most of the time. With a game, you're delivering a product, man. You should know that there's an end and you got to get to it at some point, and you're designing a proper story around that. So someone made the conscious choice to introduce the Wendigo creatures in that, and it was like, it would have been cooler if there was like a cult of murderous dudes that were in the woods.
I don't disagree with that.
So I mean, that's my one piece of like video game story advice is like, just keep it consistent. You can throw in some twists and stuff. Like Pinto, like we were just discussing the twist in House of Ashes, which I'm not going to spoil for you.
Thank you.
It's there. I don't know if I want to say I did or did not see it coming, but I found it wholly inoffensive. I think if someone tells it to you, you might find it offensive, but when you experience it, you're kind of like, oh, that's interesting. So I would relay that to Megan as well, which is like, okay, you've heard the twist, but it actually doesn't have that big of an impact, so just enjoy the game for what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I found the twist at Little Hope to be like very surprising, and I was like, oh, it all makes sense, and I actually really like how they did it, so hopefully that'll be the case, you know?
Yeah, it's not, I don't think it's a dramatic twist, it's just like an origin thing.
Mm-hmm.
The horror that you experience still happens, still out there, still real, you know? It's just whatever, you know, you perceive that twist as is an origin story. Hey, man, it doesn't change the spook for me where it came from. And it was fun. Like, I think it was thoughtful enough. And I actually like that about those games, is I think they kind of... It's not an M. Night Shyamalan twist where it's like everything you know is different. It's a twist that just says like, here's another thing to chew on a little bit.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I promise I will play it.
Okay.
At some point.
I should put you on the clock. I should put you and Megan on the clock at some
point. Yeah, well, I mean, I said I was going to play Skyrim and look what happened there.
Finish it by the end of August, Pinto. That is your requirement.
By the end of August?
Yes, end of August. Okay. You have 3 months.
That's pretty reasonable.
That's reasonable.
It's a game that you can finish in like, you can finish in one day, or
probably
it'll be a
like
long
two
day.
Or three
you can finish
nights.
In two days. Yeah.
For there sure. you go.
But yeah, and I would also say Skyrim. Who cares anymore?
It's like GTA 5.
I don't. That's for sure.
Every once in a while, I think about playing Skyrim, and then I'm like, but I could do so much more with my life. Outside of that one time I played it in VR and got motion sick. So, yeah, I don't know. If you're going to play a game like that, I think the story is better in, like, a Fallout game. So if you're going to play something, play Fallout.
Which, again, I have never played a Fallout game.
Play Fallout New Vegas. It's great.
I think Fallout New Vegas was free on Epic Games, which we...
Dude, it doesn't matter if a game is free on Epic Games. I'm never going to use it, which I don't know why.
I just throw it in the catalog and then it's
there. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I just saw that it was free, like, earlier today or yesterday.
Is it free right now? Because if it's free right now, Pinto should just get it, because that is a good game.
Yeah, I'll have to look. I'll double-check my
That game is probably in my list of, like, top 20, top 25 games of all time. So...
Maybe one of these days we should do a themed episode where we do like do a top 10 list for
all
of us.
Did you just recommend that we have a topic for one of these podcasts again?
No, we don't do topics.
I'm like the only person that occasionally comes up with a topic.
I've had topics recently. That's not just not consistently. It is free, by the way.
Yeah. It was just given away very recently. So log into Epic Games, download Fallout New Vegas, and play it. Yeah. There you go. There's a game for you.
But I have to play House of Ashes.
Well
you were looking
and
for
the Quarry.
You're doing that one with Megan, and the Quarry. I don't know if you're doing that with Megan or not, but
probably not. She's already played it.
I would just do the get on it at least. And honestly, yeah. Fallout New Vegas is like a good game to play solo. So, and that's the only way you can really play it. So
yeah,
it's acquired. All
right, I'm doing the exact same thing right now too.
Look at all of us. All right, I think looking at the time, I will end it before we jump to a new unofficial topic or anything. Thanks everybody for listening. Appreciate it. If you guys did not, go over to Epic Games by June 1st and get Fallout New Vegas for free, which is awesome.
This episode will be out after June 1st. So.
Well, then I hope you did it.
Otherwise, you missed out.
Well, anyway, thanks so much for sticking around with us and listening into all of our thoughts about these recent games we've been playing. You can check us out at joypadpod.com. There is a link tree there of our social medias, which we don't use, as well as our YouTube, which we do use. So check that out, because that's how you can see the podcast in camera form. And you can also check out some of our recent Let's Plays. Well, I guess they're not really Let's Plays. They're more just like plays. I don't know.
I mean,
we play.
We play.
Yeah, we play.
Right now, it's the boys playing Raft and the whole gang playing the Outlast Trials.
Yes. So feel free to go check that out. Otherwise, I think that's basically it. So I'll let Tom find a way to end this episode.
Hey, if you've ever wanted to experience what it's like to go to a haunted house with me, and I am a cynical bastard in a haunted house, watch us play the Outlast Trials. I just want to say we have discussed a lot of different games, a lot of different ways of playing games. So for you as a listener, I would say play the game that you find makes you have the most joyful experience, and play it the way that gives you the most joy. So
FPM.
With that, enjoy your FPM and stay joyful.
Goodbye.